Amen. Thank you, Tammy. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message entitled, God is Great Enough to Keep Me Secure. Comes from John chapter 10. And I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Beginning in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. A few verses later, in verse 22, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, help us to understand that it is because of your greatness we are saved. It is because of your greatness that we are kept secure in Jesus Christ. Lord, speak to us now through your word, for we make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to share with you today what I believe is the answer to the biggest objection that I hear of people not willing to commit their life to Jesus Christ. The number one reason that I hear is that, well, I'm afraid that I won't be able to hold on. I don't believe I'll be able to live the Christian life, and I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, folks, you don't become a child of God on your own, and you don't stay a child of God on your own. It is because we have a great God that makes you one of His children, that same great God keeps you as one of His children. Now, there's a lot of things down here that may look secure that are not secure, but if you are in Jesus, God is great enough to keep you secure. Jacques Lowe was the personal photographer for the Kennedy family. He took over 40,000 pictures of JFK and his family. Every picture that you see in a magazine, this guy took. He had all 40,000 of the negatives. The whole image of Camelot was through the lens of Jacques Lowe. He kept all of these negatives in a vault in Chase Manhattan Bank. And anytime somebody needed a photograph of JFK, he would go down to the vault, take out the negative, take it to the photo lab, have it printed, take the negative and put it back in the vault at the bank. But something happened on September the 11th, 2001. You see, the bank was heavily damaged by 9/11's fire and the crumbling of the World Trade Center. And even though the vault was fireproof, when they went in there to check the 40,000 negatives, all that was in there was ashes. All 40,000 of them completely destroyed, no other copy available. You see, even the bank is not always secure. But what I want you to know today is that if you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ, you are as secure as the universe. When I get through preaching this, I hope you can be like the fellow who said, I am so secure in Jesus, I could grab a rotten grapevine, swing over hell, and sing victory in Jesus while doing it. Yeah. Well, let's look at this passage. The first thing I want you to see is the greatest question ever posed is found right here in this passage. In verse 24, the Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Here's the question that needs to be asked and answered. Who is Jesus Christ? According to Time magazine, Jesus Christ is the most influential human to ever live. Now, folks, that's not at church. That's not from a Baptist preacher. That's from a secular, worldly magazine. Said nobody has influenced this world more than Jesus Christ. Well, who is Jesus Christ? Some will say he's a great teacher. He's a great example. But I submit to you that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the Son of God, and he is the Savior of the world. If he's not the Son of God, and he's not the Savior of the world, he is a fake, a phony, a fraud, and a liar. Because he claimed to be the Son of God. That is not an option. Not only do we see the greatest question that is ever asked, but we also see the greatest tragedy exposed. In verse 25, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. Jesus healed the crippled. He raised the dead. He drove out demons. He had all of these miracles. He could still the storm and even the waves. And so they had all of these miracles, but they still did not believe. He said, I told you, but you didn't believe. You see, so many times people today are saying, well, if God would do this, if God would do that, can I tell you something? If you won't believe what Jesus said, you won't believe even if you see the dead raised to life. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Now, notice where this took place at. It was the Feast of Dedication. It's what we call today Hanukkah. It happened around Christmas time. And where was Jesus? He was in the temple. He was in Solomon's colonnade. This was the only covered part of the temple, and it was opened up to everyone. You see, certain parts of the temple were only open up to the men or Jewish women or to the priests. And so he declared this so that everybody could hear he is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Well, how do you know if you're one of God's children? You know, just saying you're God's child don't make you God's child. How can you know that your sins are forgiven, you've been adopted into God's family, and you're going to live eternally in heaven? How can you know that? Well, there are some characteristics, three of them I'd like to mention this morning. Notice here, the first one is that the good shepherd's sheep are saved. In verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, a lot of times I run into people and it says, well, you know, if this person's a Christian and that person's a Christian, well, the whole world's a Christian. If that person's a Christian, I have nothing to worry about. Not everybody who says I'm a child of God is a child of God. Not every person who says I'm a Christian is a Christian. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. That is, beware of people that are evil on the inside, but on the outside, they look like, act like, and talk like a Christian, but they're not. But I want you to know, if you really, really trust Jesus Christ and he comes into your heart and your life, you can't be a Christian one day and a non-Christian the next day. It doesn't happen that way. God doesn't write your name down in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, and the next day scratch it out. I reminded this one little boy, and he went and bragged to one of his friends. And he said, my daddy's got a list of men in this neighborhood that he can whip. And your daddy's name is on the list. Well, little Billy didn't like that, so he went home and told his daddy. He said, well, I'll go show him. He went marching down the street, knocked on his door, and he said, I understand from my boy, and he heard it from your boy, that you have a list of all the dads in this neighborhood you can whip. He said, that's right. He said, I understand that my name's on that list. He said, that's right. He rolled up his sleeves. He said, I don't believe you can whoop me. What you gonna do about that? He said, I'll just take your name off the list. Aren't you glad God doesn't take your name off the list? Aren't you glad that once he writes your name in the book of life, it is in permanent ink and it can never be taken away? Amen. Verse 26, he said, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. There are people who belong to Jesus, there are people that don't. And if you're here and you've been considering it, but you think, you know, I'm not sure I can hold out to the end. It's not up to you to hold out. It's up to you to trust. And you trust God, and God does the holding on and the holding out. Notice here, the sheep listen to the shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Now, here's the thing about sheep. Sheep are not very smart, okay? But they're smart enough to recognize the shepherd's voice, and they will not follow any other voice. If you've invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart and your life, you will hear his voice and not listen to a strange voice, is what Jesus is saying. You know, I've noticed this even about a small child. You take a great big crowd like this right here we have this morning. Brother Ken, it's a good-looking crowd, isn't it? Amen, yeah. I thought I'd have got more amens. I was bragging on you, being good-looking. It's a good-looking crowd. But you know what I've discovered is a small child, in all of these people talking, can pick out her mom or dad's voice and hear mom or dad's voice and go straight to it. Well, if a small child can do that, then certainly a child of God can hear and listen to the voice of God. Man came into a china shop and he said to the proprietor, he said, I want to buy every glass you have in here tuned to the pitch of A. He said, how in the world am I supposed to know that? He pulled out a tuning fork and struck it. And when he did, every glass in there tuned to the note of A began to vibrate. And I believe the same is true in the life of the believer. When God speaks, there's something on the inside of you that vibrates when God speaks. Excuse me. Secondly, notice here, the sheep are linked to the shepherd. Verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. You see, a mark of a true believer is that they know Jesus Christ personally. Because of a 24-hour news cycle, I want you to know, I know lots of things about the President of the United States. I know lots of things about Donald Trump. But can I tell you something? I don't know the President personally. And I can guarantee you this, he don't know me at all. Okay? But think about it. The God who created the universe, you can know him personally, and he can know you by name, not by a number, not by a card, but he knows you personally. You are linked to the shepherd. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, and this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's about as plain and as simple as you can put it. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you have eternal life. If you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, you do not have eternal life. You can be a good person, a good neighbor, a good student, a good parent, but if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, you do not have eternal life. On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." I think the saddest thing that could happen to a person is to come to a service like this here, walk away without knowing Jesus Christ personally, and someday stand before God and God say, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Amen. You can know God and God can know you personally. But I'm afraid there's a lot of folks like Art Linkletter used to be. How many of you remember Art Linkletter? Used to be on television. He was on TV for about 40 years. Art Linkletter had something that shook his world. His daughter became addicted to LSD and jumped out of a window thinking she could fly. She died. That rocked Art Linkletter's world. Shortly after this tragedy, he was in San Francisco in a 5-star motel, and there was about a dozen young adults, college students, and they got around Art Linkletter and said, "Art, we want to pray for you. We know that you're going through a very difficult time." And he said, "Okay." And they grabbed hands and they formed a circle. But what they did next, just he wasn't prepared for. And they all fell down on their knees in this lobby. And Art Linkletter said, "When they all went to their knees, I went down to their knees and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, I hope nobody recognizes me." He said, "All of my life, I felt like I was a good person. All of my life, I felt like I didn't need anybody else. I could do it myself." He said, "But when we all got down there on my knees, all of a sudden, I saw myself for what I was. I was a cardboard Christian." He said, in other words, I was just an image on the outside and there was nothing on the inside. But he said, "When I got down on my knees and I started praying with those college students," he said, "for the first time, the things of God became real in my life." I'm wondering who's here today and you're just a cardboard Christian. You're just a facade. On the outside, it looks okay, but on the inside, all of this stuff is not real to you. It can be real to you, just like it became real to Art Linkletter. And so next, notice here, the sheep look to the shepherd. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." You see, a mark of a true believer is they're following Jesus Christ. One fellow said it this way. He said, "You know what? Being a believer is like having the measles." He said, "When you get the measles, they pop out everywhere. And when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, Jesus just pops out everywhere in your life. And people can see Jesus in you." 1 John 2:19 says, "They went out from us, but they didn't really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us." You need to understand this morning, not everything that says "baa" is a sheep. Okay? He said, "Listen, There are some folks, and they've walked out an aisle, they've said a prayer, they got dunked into water, but they never got Jesus. I call them Alka-Seltzer Christians. And they've had a blop and a flop, and then they fizzed out, and now even the FBI couldn't find them. They're nowhere to be found. And the scripture says they went out from us, and they stayed away from us because they were never a part of us. Now I want to give you a verse of scripture. It's not in your outline, but it's up here on the screen. And that is 1 John 5:13. All right? Notice here, John, what does he say? He said, I write these things to you. What's he talking about? I write these things. He's talking about the New Testament. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you believe in Jesus? Notice here why he's writing. That you may know that you have eternal life. Folks, you understand God wrote this book so you could know. You don't have to say, I think so, I hope so. You can know so. That's why this book was written. You can know. And yet there'll be folks that'll say, well, you know what? You can be saved today and lost tomorrow. No, these things are written so that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. All right, so number one, we see that the good shepherd's sheep are saved. Secondly, I want you to see they're safe. If you trust Jesus, you are safe. Why is that? Because you are safe because of salvation's gift. John 10:28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. I want you to circle the word gives. Jesus said, I give. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. God gives it to you. Eternal life is a gift from God. He said, I give them eternal life. One old fellow had given his heart and life to Jesus Christ. He was pumped up and excited about being a Christian. And he always stopped by this gas station. And the guy there at the gas station, he was a nice, friendly guy. He's all the time doing good things and helping people out and talking about God. And this the new believer was talking to him about being a Christian. And this guy that worked at the gas station said something to him. It shook him up. He said, well, you know, it's faith is what saves you, but works is what keeps you. And he said, do what? I've never heard that. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you know, if you were on the side and you were wanting to get across to the other side of the lake and you were in a rowboat, you'd take both oars. And one oar is faith. You got to trust God. And the other oar is works. You got to work. You got to be good. You got to help people. He said, it takes both of them to make you get to the other side. If you just have faith, you're going to go around and around in a circle. Now, doesn't that make sense? He said, well, I guess. But he didn't feel right about it. So he went to see his pastor, and he told him what happened. And he says, well, it makes sense. And his pastor said, you go back and tell him, yeah, his illustration makes sense. There's only one problem. He said, what's that? You don't go to heaven in a rowboat. You go to heaven by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It is a gift from God. But I want you to know you're safe because of salvation's length. Notice verse 28. I give them eternal life. All right, now let's just do a little time out here. What does eternal mean? Forever. What does ever forever mean? It means eternal. It means everlasting. Well, you see, if I have it today and I've lost it tomorrow, it's not forever. I didn't have eternal life. I had temporary life. Now, don't be confused. How many of you ladies go to the beauty shop? You go to the beauty shop, yeah. And you get this thing every once in a while, and it's called a permanent. Yeah. I don't know why they call it that. They ought to call it a temporary, right? I'm here today to get a temporary. You know, it lasts about 2 or 3 months. And then you have to have what? Then you got to have it done again. So it's not a permanent, it's a temporary. And so don't confuse the term here. Eternal life means forever. God says, I'm going to give you something, and it's going to last forever. It's not temporary. One fellow preached on this, and it made one of the women in his church mad. I know y'all find that hard to believe, a preacher would preach on something make somebody mad. But anyhow, she was mad. She was waiting on him at the end. And when he come out, he said to her, he said, I don't like your interpretation. So what do you mean about eternal life? He said, what do you don't like about it? He says, well, this thing about it lasts forever. He said, well, it's not my interpretation. It's just what it said. And he took it out, and he says, right here, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. She said, well, I don't agree with your interpretation. He said, well, if it said, I give them 20 years, and they will never perish, would you be okay with that? She said, well, I guess so. He said, well, if it said, I give you 40 years, and you will be never perish, would you be okay with that? She said, well, I'd be okay with that. He said, well, let's look here and see what it says. It says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. She said, oh, I don't like your interpretation. Which, folks, it wasn't an interpretation. It's the words of Jesus. It's eternal, forever, everlasting life. And if you have it today and lose it tomorrow, you didn't have eternal life. You had temporary life. And then thirdly, you are safe because of salvation's promise. Verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You see, if I'm saved today and I'm lost 20 years from now, then when I'm lost, I'm going to perish. Jesus said, you will never perish. I have God's guarantee. Here a while back, Teresa and I, we were in need of a television. And we went to Best Buy. And we went down there and we looked at this one and we thought, well, this is what kind of what we want. It's in our price range. And the guy comes over, oh, that's last year's model. This one right here's got the new technology. Oh, this one here's got a billion more brighter colors. It's on sale. You want to get this one. Okay. Well, they bring it up there in the cart. It looks like the box has been opened already. My wife says, I don't want this, and I want another one. Okay, well, I'll go back there. He comes back and says, I'm sorry, this is the last one we got. Okay, we'll take it. I take it home, follow all the directions, and it doesn't work. I get online. I cannot find a solution. I take pictures of all the connections and everything I've done. I go back down to Best Buy. I talk to their specialist, and I said, all right, I've done this, 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 this. And he goes over there, and he says, all right, here's a demo. Here's what you need to do. Show me everything I need to do. I went home, and I did all of that, right? Still didn't work. I boxed it all up, and I took it back down there. And I said, I want to return it. Well, what's wrong? I told him what's wrong. Oh, well, you got a problem with the cable company. It's with Spectrum. You need to call them and come out. And I said, no. You said there was a 15-day guarantee. If I didn't like it, I'd bring it back. I don't like it. He said, all right. They took it back, and I got another one. Went home, plugged it in. Worked first time, okay? Well, listen, if Best Buy will make a guarantee and they will honor it, don't you think if the God of the universe makes a guarantee that will not the God of the universe, will he not stick with his guarantee? He said, and you will never perish. God's made you a promise. Now, Chris, I may not say these terms right. Chris is a... He's a mountain climber, okay? He's actually one of these SWAT EMT guys, but he climbs rocks, okay? Never understood why people climbed rocks, but I understand that they might have to climb one to rescue people who don't get it right. So if I don't get these terms right, you overlook me, okay? But about mountain rock climbing, when they climb up to a 90-degree face of rock, they have a couple of tools that help them, okay? They have an anchor when they come to a crack. They have an anchor and they pull out their hammer and they pound it in that crack. And that spike, I think it's called a piton. They drive that piton in there, all right? And then when they get through, there's the piton, the thing. It's in the drove in the rock. And then the thing, that they take a clip, and I believe it's called a carabiner. I thought that was what me and Teresa were when we went on a cruise, carabiners. Yeah. But they take a carabiner and they attach it to that piton. And what that means is they can never fall below where it's anchored. And friend, don't you understand that God takes the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I are anchored with grace to the rock of ages, Jesus, and we are latched on by the security of the Almighty God, and we can never fall below where God has hooked us up. And then lastly, not only are you saved if you're his sheep and safe, but praise God, you're secure. Notice our security is based on the grasp of God. Verse 28, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. Before Jesus ascended up, he said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given to me. All right, so Jesus has all the power in heaven and earth. And he said, nobody can snatch them out of his hand. If he has all the power, who has power to take it out of his hand? You are secure if you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because God has a hold of you, not because you have a hold of God. When my kids were small, we'd come to a busy intersection. I'd say, son, come over here, take my hand. He'd take my hand, and we'd walk over there, and we'd get over there. And you know how kids are. They want to pull away. And you know why? When they try to pull away, you know what I did? I just squeezed a little harder. Because, you see, I understood it was a dangerous intersection. And if you step out at the wrong time, you could just be a greasy spot in the road. And it wasn't that he was holding on to me. I was holding on to him. You are secure for eternity because God is holding on to you, not because you are holding on to him. Jude, Jesus' half-brother, said it this way. To him, that's Jesus, who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Jesus has a hold of my hand. And because he has a hold of my hand, he's going to keep me from falling from grace. He's going to keep me from falling out of favor with God. And one of these days, he is going to present me faultless and with great joy before the throne of God. And if you put your faith and hope in him, he's going to do the same thing for you. Praise God. We have any skydivers? Anybody here went skydiving? I see a couple hands. Well, that's because the rest of them are smart. There's no reason to jump out of a perfectly good airplane. Pastor Ken, I think we might do this for your 85th birthday. This woman, 84 years old, decided she wanted to take up skydiving. And that's what she wanted for her 85th birthday. So she went out there and she took all the classes, took all this stuff, and she's ready for the big day on her birthday when she's going to do a solo jump. All right, so she gets up there in the airplane. She has her parachute on. She's all ready. They get up at 8,000 feet, and the pilot says, all right, you can jump out now. She looked down, lost her nerve. She said, I need some help. She got on the radio to the instructor down there, and here's what she said. She says, help, help, I've gotten up and I can't fall down. Aren't you glad when you take Jesus into your heart that he gets you up and you can't fall down? Yeah, amen. Amen. And then lastly, our security is based on the greatness of God. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you understand we have a double guarantee? Jesus said they can't snatch them out of my hand. They can't snatch them out of the Father's hand. Did you know if you put your faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ and you don't make it to heaven and you don't have eternal life, that means God hadn't done his job. Jesus hadn't done his job. And he said, you'll not snatch them out of my Father's hand because he is greater than them all. All of the forces of hell, all the demons, all the devils, all the things of this world are not greater than he is. And you will not snatch me out of my Father's hand. Now let me tell you why I think it's important. That not only are you saved, but you know you're saved, and you're secure in your salvation. You see, if you doubt your salvation, if you think I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm saved, I'm lost, I'm good with God today, I'm not good with God the next day, do you know what that will do? It will demoralize you from serving God. But once you realize that you serve a great God and you are secure in him, it releases you and frees you up to serve God and to witness to other people. I mean, why would I talk to somebody else about God if I'm not even sure I'm going to heaven myself? But you see, if I am saved and I am secure, then I can go out and boldly serve God. I'm going to close by telling you this true story. In 1937, the United States government set out to build the largest suspension bridge in the world at that time. It's called the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. When they started building it in the first section, they had almost no type of safety devices. And as they built the first section, 23 of the workers fell to their death. And because people became afraid to work, that they were going to fall and die, the work slowed down to a crawl. And so then what they did was is they stopped all the work, and they went out and built a giant, the world's largest safety net at that time, and they put it out there so that when the workers were working on the bridge, if they fell, they'd fall in that net. It saved many, many lives. But here was the amazing thing. The work sped up and was completed ahead of time because they worked 25% faster, knowing that there was something there to catch them if they fail. And folks, I think that's a beautiful picture. Once you know you are safe and you're secure in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're not going to work, only work for God, but you're going to work more efficient with more boldness because you have that security. I'm in the hands of God Almighty, and nothing can snatch me from his hands. So I can just step out in faith and boldly serve God. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. I'm wondering who'd get out of their seat, come down this aisle and say, Pastor, I know a lot about Jesus, but I don't know him personally. And I want to come today and ask him to come into my heart and to trust him and his gift of eternal life, not my works, not my goodness. I'm wondering who would get up and walk down this aisle and say, you know what? I've been baptized. I'm a church member. But the things of God have not been real to me. I want them to be real starting today. And you might be here today and it's like, you know what? Now that I understand what God's word says, I know that I'm saved. And now I know that I'm secure. And knowing that I am secure, God, I want to serve you with boldness. Whatever it is God is speaking to your heart about today, we have a time of invitation and commitment. I'm going to ask you to stand up. Come to this altar and make whatever commitment God is asking you to make. Heavenly Father, Lord, may you speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, move May those who need to make decisions and commitments get up, get out of their seat, and publicly say, I'm trusting Jesus today with this area of my life. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions and our commitments. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you would please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.